Hi, I'm Daniel Francis, or Danny Francis, who people have known for a long time. I graduated from the University of Toronto a long time ago, worked in Manitoba a little bit, and disappeared off the academic scene, worked for Ontario Hydro for many, many years, 20-odd years, and I sort of come back to academia in the area of simulation. And I'm not in queuing theory, although I must tell you that at the start of my simulation courses, I do cover the basics of queuing, so people should know. In the course of doing a simulation study for Canadian Blood Services, I encountered some interesting problems. I spoke to some people in queuing theory, said those are really interesting problems, and one of those, in fact, is being pursued as a master's thesis at U of T in the Department of Mechanical and Industrial Engineering. So the topic is the challenge and maybe the challenges for queuing theory, and I don't know for sure whether they're challenges. So I have some points later on, and I call them the good, the bad, and the ugly, and there are things that I think are good for queuing theory and the things bad, and you decide whether they're bad or ugly. Maybe they're all good, in which case my talk has been for naught, and I wasted your time probably. I am not having this recorded because this work was done on contract with the Canadian Blood Services, and I have some confidentiality agreements, and they're okay with me presenting, but they're generally not okay with me, with leaving things behind. So there won't be any mark except in your memory. The purpose was, in Canada, in many regions, including Toronto, there are severe blood shortage problems periodically. There's a real concern from the board that we really didn't have any tools to look at those, to get a handle, a quantitative handle on those risks. And they weren't just interested in the risk of running short, but also in the risk of so what? So if we're short, what's the consequence? Is somebody going to die, or is it just going to be a deferred operation? When I say just, from a certain point of view, it's just. Of course, from the patient, it's significant. So we were asked to look at three areas: Toronto, Kingston, and Prince George Regional Hospital out in BC. And each study was a paired study between the local hospital and the blood center. And we looked at the whole flow, and I'll just flip up a. Most of these are borrowed from previous presentations. This is quite a busy slide, and I'm not going to go through it. But this was used as a basis for discussing with the people in the business, have I got the correct flow? Have I got the correct sequence? For example, I've got blood coming in here at Ottawa Center, platelets in this case. They go into the Ottawa stock. Some of them get outdated. Orders come in from the region. Orders come in from Kingston General Hospital. And various patients, cancer kind of patients, medicine, surgery, trauma. There is standing orders, so on a regular basis, stuff is withdrawn. Stuff can outdate either there or it can outdate locally. And we simulated all of that. Someone in queuing theory at the outset felt that simulation was the wrong way to go, that we should look at this analytically. But in the end, I think agreed with me that this was the cautious thing to do. So what are the challenges? And this is what I meant by the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good, it's an inventory problem, so we got lots of literature to deal with those kind of things. We've got stuff coming in, stuff going out. Blood in this case, is the supply can be modeled as coming in regularly. Okay, I'll have a little bit more to say about that, but you can almost assume one unit at a time are coming in, donors come in, they're all over the place, clinics, and so things come into the bank within certain time ranges, and that's what may be one of the bad things. The demand can be characterized as a random demand. It comes in batches. If it's a trauma patient, then all of a sudden he needs a whole bunch of units. If it's a regular operation, they need fewer units. So you might have some kind of maybe geometric distribution on the batch size, which may help from an analysis point of view. The bad and the ugly, and those are the ones that I want to present the following, the slides with, is the fact that the supply and demand stop and go. They're only there for a period of time, and then they act up. We have multiple types of products with substitution. It's a perishable commodity. We have two kinds of demand, and I saw there's another paper later on which talks about two kinds of low priority and high priority, sort of same, similar idea. And we have, I'll talk about this the next when I get to the slide. The stop and go supply and demand. And what I've done is maybe to attract interaction is that after each one, if I could have some indication of whether you think it's good, bad, or ugly, that would be good, or we can do it at the end. Whichever one's your choice. You can be quiet for the whole thing. Supply is only on for given time periods. So so what happens is the blood comes, the blood products, and there's red blood cells and platelets. We said, you know, I have two models. The blood comes in and it gets tested, and that takes some of its life. And for platelets, both red cells and platelets get tested, and then they get put into inventory. And the inventory is released over about a five-hour period, from, let's say, 5 o'clock in the afternoon till about 9, 10 o'clock at night. And during that period, it's almost like they're leaving one at a time. That's how we modeled in the simulation. They were fine with that. Because it's sort of, they get distributed all over the place a little bit at a time, so you can sort of model it, the supply coming in. The non-bleeding demand, that means the non-emergency kind of need for blood, is during regular hours. You don't have too many surgeries happening in the middle of the night, so it's kind of scheduled. But the bleeding demand is always on. So you basically have two kinds of demand, non-bleeding demand during periods and bleeding demand, which is always on. And I don't know if this is bad or ugly. Okay? Is it good? I don't know if it's a problem to have when you have... anyway, leave that with you. This is the all of the bins. We have 8 bins. In fact, this is a problem we're currently looking at with 2 bins. We have 8 bins of blood types, and O neg is the most, any patient can take O neg blood. But any AB pos, only one kind of patient can use AB pos. And under certain, for bleed requests, they sometimes give an AB neg patient AB, you know, plus type, and they take the chances, better he lives, and we'll worry about the consequence later on. So the numbers are priorities, okay? If you forget about the numbers and just put X's, that's the substitution that can happen. So if you run out of this one, you go to that one. So in the simplest case, you think of 2 bins. There's maybe a bin I and a bin J. Both have the supplies coming in. Both have demands going in. But the demand from this one, if not satisfied, turns into an overflow demand into the next bin. So it's sort of an overflow of demand from one to the other. So if this server is busy, I'll go to that one. Okay? But you have it, in reality, you have it with 8. But if you can solve this probably for 2, it's a good thing. The numbers is an interesting non-queuing problem, but for whatever. Right now they have fixed priorities, but those priorities should clearly be a function of the inventory levels. So I think it would be kind of a nice optimization problem to think of what's the optimum priority to use given your inventory levels. What do you go first to? Given statistics of the population, given where you have inventory, during certain circumstances that might be the right priority. Other circumstances the priorities might change. Yes? This right here, AB pos, okay. If you have AB pos, then an AB can only be taken by AB. It's the universal recipient. He can take from an, but the donor, if you have AB positive blood and you go and donate, people with O neg should donate, please. You know, those are great. And there's a lower rate of donations in Toronto, so the main purpose of my talk is to get you all to donate blood. But if you're AB, then it's not likely that it's, you know, the usage of it is much more limited. Okay, if you're a donor of AB, then only another AB can take you. Are you with?
Yeah.
So this is who you're donating this, and this is if you're a patient, what you can pick. Well, this guy, he can't be substituted. He needs AB. No. Sorry, I'm getting confused. If you're an AB, is there anybody who cannot be substituted? No, there is. You're looking for one here. If you're an, yeah, that's right. If you're an O neg, you can only take O neg.
Oh,
if you deal with the population of O negs.
Yeah.
Yeah, fine. But it's not interesting. It is interesting with perishables.
It gives you part of it's partial.
Yeah, it doesn't deal with the substitution problem at all. Basically, you've isolated just, you know, I tell that to the students. I say, how can we simplify this problem so we can solve it? You know, and we just keep on making it more ridiculous. What was that? Okay, the numbers represent the priority. So if a APOS patient comes in, they'll first go to APOS to get blood. If they don't have that, they'll go to OPOS to get blood. They'll go to ANEG. They'll go to ONEG. And if they are run out then we can't satisfy him. So, and these are based, they asked me to put in this note, the preference order is from an inventory management view, no type swapping for an individual patient. That means you cannot, that same patient has to be given the same kind of blood during his duration. Okay? But from an inventory management, they generally, you know, given their general sense of inventory, these numbers were derived, and those are the ones we use in our simulation model. That's correct. If you have APOS, you cannot, there's nobody, even in emergencies, they will not give BPOS. And there's some anecdotes, but yeah. Right.
And there is a little bit of A plus available.
Right.
But the dynamic priority would say it's better to save that.
Correct.
But would you be allowed to do that?
Yeah, and these are management decisions. So if you come up with an application that they have the ongoing inventory online, if they had that, okay, if they had an ongoing inventory online and the next patient comes, they would put in the computer, this guy's A plus, and it would direct which bin they should be served from. And that, to my knowledge, does not exist. Not at least, I haven't encountered it.
Are there liability issues?
No, within these, no. You mean within these priorities, no. No, it's perfectly okay. It's like, these are okay and these are not okay. You cannot just switch between. Now, there is a slight medical preference for giving some doctors, okay? But you find some conflict, but in this area, I'm told that it's pretty universal that you can exchange.
Would the dynamic priorities depend on predicting of what's coming
next? Yes. Well, you may not. The simplest case, you may not. In other words, you may just go with historical use by this hospital of what's its population of patients, either use the general population, because this is also affected by racial background, for I'm politically incorrect word, but blood types do depend on your racial background. In other words, like certain populations have the distribution is not the same in all parts of the world. So for your locale, you have data on what your patients are, and you would use that as your best prediction. I don't think you could predict any better than that, actually. Yeah. Okay, now that's a very interesting. Yeah, that's a very interesting. In fact, John Blake is working in a deterministic sense, is working on that production. John Blake from Dalhousie University is working, he's now on sabbatical with CBS and has worked on production planning models that he developed. He presented, of course, at the meeting. So, you know, I'm sort of working in the risk area and he's working in the deterministic planning area. But they want to transship. They want to send from one. In fact, one of the main applications for this model that I've developed is to push them in the direction of doing more exchange between areas. Okay, to say, hey, we can levelize. You should be levelizing risk. If your risk in Toronto is high and somewhere else is low, you should be sending. There's a lot of political resistance to those kinds of things, but, you know. It's 5 days for platelets, 42 days for red cells. So I'll get... I'm glad you asked. What else can I say? I guess what I can say is that this is a serious problem, that if you try to come up with a platelet model that ignored perishability, it would be useless. If you dealt with a red cell model that ignores perishability, it would be useful, because in shortage areas, like Toronto, you rarely outdate red cells. In other words, there's such a need, there's such a shortage that you never get to 42. The only one that you get to 42 is the AB, because he's such a limited thing. You know, I've gone down to the basement here on College Street. He said, look, we're empty. I said, what's that? Oh, that's AB. You know, and I said, all those people don't even... Okay, sorry. So this is... that's all I had to say, really, about that. Now, so I've covered, let me just go back. I hope I'm, if I'm going over time, let me know. No, okay. I've done the stop and go. I've done the multiple types. I've done the perishable commodity, which I could easily talk about. Let me get to the last two bullets before I put that slide on. The next bullet. I asked what happens when a non-bleeder, the medical consequences of shortages. Now they say, so what? So somebody comes in and needs the product and we cannot provide him. Is he going to die? And the answer is that no, and it depends, and I'll put up that slide. But the interesting thing from a curing perspective is that if he's unsatisfied, if a non-bleeding patient is not satisfied, he turns into a bleeding patient with some delay. So if the inventory is low and he cannot be satisfied, he'll come back, and the rules I'll give you in a minute, he'll come back either a percentage of them will come back 2 or 3 days later, or the rules will be later, but they turn from a non-bleeding to a bleeding. So in our simulation, we have to recognize that. He comes once, he doesn't get satisfied. He comes twice, he doesn't get satisfied. He comes 3 times not satisfied, he turns into a bleeding patient and then gets higher priority, which I will talk about in the last bullet, inventory demand rates. In other words, let me deal first with the transition. Now these again were slides prepared for, and this is part of the reason why I, you know, these are opinions, and I'd have sort of hesitate to go out and saying this is the law. These were opinions from a subset of medical staff, and they said it would be an interesting discussion to have among people in the field. So what they're saying is the red blood cells, and the interesting thing here, if I can extract it, is this. If you have severe acute anemia, then and you're not bleeding, you will turn into level 1. These level 1, 2, 3, so level 1 is you're bleeding, and that's severe. If you're bleeding and can't get blood, you could be dead. That's, you know, the other things kick in, but then it's very serious. You could become level 1 in 1 to 3 days. So in the simulation, we take that into account. So even if you say deterministically or stochastically that turns into a delayed demand, that's an interesting problem, just in and of itself. So when if you cannot satisfy a non-bleeding, you have two kinds of customers. You cannot satisfy the non-bleeding, then he comes back, he joins the other population to come back and haunt you. Okay. The consequence of not having his level 2, which is, you know, delayed surgery or something like that, but not fatal, he turns into fatal. And the similar thing, depending on this one is just a longer delay; it's in a week. And this one here is cute. He either stays the way he is, or he gets better, or he gets worse. Level 3 means he gets better. So people in this area here, the post-operative surgery, there is no blood to give them. It's not a big deal. Let it be. We'll wait. You know, he'll either get worse, in which case emergency things, in the case of shortage, okay? If there's no shortage, of course, you give him right away. For platelets, it's similar. If he has a very low platelet count, you don't give him, not good, but 5% of them will hit you in a day. If cancer patients or other kinds of patients come in, they cannot be provided with blood at the platelets, and it happens. This happens often. Sorry, we don't have any now. Come back tomorrow. 5% of those who come back tomorrow got worse. And so that's something that needs to be. So this is an interesting thing. Even if you drop everything else and can just sort of isolate that as a problem, I think it would be an interesting curing problem. That's the transition. The last one is inventory demand and the demand rates. Last. Yeah, well, I'll run out of time, and then it's your turn. I can talk about some other things, but for the start of the slide, the inventory-dependent demand rates. When met with the people here on College Street, the question was I had is, what happens when you start running short? What's your procedure? And they said, oh, you mean you want to know our policy? I say, I'd like to know your policy. Oh, here it is. We've documented it. And it's a little table, and it says if your inventory reaches this, you start only satisfying 75% of requests. And if your inventory reaches that, you only satisfy 50% of requests. And if your inventory is that, you reach 25% of requests. And if it really gets low, you only deal with emergencies. You only deal with trauma. Now, we needed that in our simulation. So as the inventory starts falling, your demand rate decreases because we're dealing with the possibility of a bleeding patient coming in. So if you come in for an operation and I have very little inventory and the blood that I give you for an operation may cost the life of the next patient because I'm going to run short, well, I'm going to say you're sorry. I have to withhold. Okay? So it's an inventory that drops, and as the inventory drops, the demand decreases. So it sort of comes to a break. You know, you would see the inventories fall, and then it slows down before it crashes. Okay, is it clear? So I think that's an interesting problem in isolation of everything else that one may want to look at, and. It's something and this is probably this slide that I get nervous about as when I said it's going to be on the web. This is their plasticized little card, just so that you know that I'm not making this up, which gives for each blood group what they would like to have, never mind that, what is their critical level, and then once they start falling below that critical level, then reductions kick in. So here, this is really their critical level. They start getting worried. If it reaches 350, then they actually start withdrawing. So as long as it's greater than 350, no reduction required. If it's between 300 and 350, 25% reduction, 50%, if it's between here, and when you reach the end, if you get less than 200, only emergency issue. So somebody calls in, a local hospital calls in, we need that much. And Toronto, very often, the reason they have this is because they are in these situations.